to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64, yeah. You're listening to Heart Pop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hi, my name's Bart. Welcome to Bart Cop Radio, show number 42. This will probably end up being known as the Rush Reagan Beatdown Show. So no sense talking about it. Let's get into it. Start with a shot of Tanaka. It tastes like Heidi Klum looks. Okay, big, big show, let's go.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Some of you may have, well, some of you have, written over the weekend and speculated as to what was not wrong with me, but why I was sort of subdued on Friday. I had received information on Friday that this was coming.
So why does he get into that? Two reasons. One, so you can feel Rush's pain. He's such a feel-good guy now. And number two, he wants to remind you that he is so powerful and so connected and such a big guy and such an influential member of the media and has all these secret backdoor channels and he's got all these moles and spies everywhere and he's just playing with himself. The bastard makes $500,000 every time he turns on the microphone, and still, he's got to tell you how important he is. Have you ever in your life heard of a guy with the ego problems that the vulgar pig boy has?
Since Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock Eastern Time, I've felt like a part of me died as well.
Oh, Jesus, pig boy, can you get any more dramatic? I feel as though a part of me has died as well. Well, you know, guess what? It wasn't Reagan that put all that money in your pocket. It was Clinton. When Clinton dies, then you ought to feel like dying. Well, you'll be dead before Clinton. But Reagan was you never even voted for Reagan. And why? The reason you said yourself, I heard you say it myself, you didn't want to stand in the long line. So you never voted for Reagan. Now that he's gone, Mr. Phony Baloney, cyst on his ass, oh, a part of me has died. Well, you know, if he wasn't worth standing in line for, and he didn't make any money for you, that was all Clinton, why are you upset that Reagan died effectively 10 years ago, but now a part of me has died? Russ, you're a melodramatic, lying bastard.
But I know that Ronald Reagan lives on in my heart.
Pig boy, you don't have a heart. And if you did, Reagan wouldn't want to live there. He's got a $1 billion mansion on the top of the Shining Hill, whatever that shit is called.
I never met Reagan.
He's going to say that again and again and again. I didn't tape all 3 hours. This is the Monday show, his big Reagan eulogy. I taped the first hour. I don't even think we can get through that because it's going to turn into a four-hour show because I have a tendency to ramble. The reason Rush told you he never met the man is because you're supposed to think, holy cow, gee, Rush, as big as you are, as huge as you are, Mr. Conservative, the number one conservative voice in all of America and the whole world, the most important man on the face of the planet, never met the other most important man on the face of the planet. How is it possible, Rush? Tell us, how could it happen that way? It's just unfathomable that something like that could happen. Please, Rush, explain it to us. How could that happen? You two are so godlike. How could you possibly not ever bump into each other? Explain it to us, Rush, please. He's going to repeat that again and again. I never met the man. I never met him once. I never met him. We never, ever met. Again and again, we're going to hear that over and over.
But it wasn't necessary to have met him in order to love him, which I do.
Pig boy, you going to cry? You going to cry for us now, pig boy? What, the OxyContin gives you some feelings? Is that what you're trying to tell us? That somehow the more synthetic heroin you eat, the more human being you become? Is that possible, Rush? Is there a part of you that's not full of hate? That black thing that beats in your chest? Are you saying that is resembling some little bit now of a heart? Is that what you're trying to tell us, Rush? I don't believe it. I think you're milking this for every dollar you can make out of it. Oh, with Reagan gone, all we have now is Rush. Oh, please, gag me with a swastika.
And that's as great a measure of greatness as I know.
Rush, that didn't make any damn sense. But if that's the greatest measure of greatness, which is great phrasing, then I don't want to hear about it.
People say, I've said it, I've reminded you of it many times here, it's said that greatness doesn't need to be explained.
Then why is it that every day for 8 years you demanded to know how Clinton fixed the economy, how Clinton kept any U.S. soldier from dying in battle, how the Clinton miracle came about? You wouldn't just accept that it was a miracle. You demanded reasons, Rush. Now you change your tune 180 degrees just because it fits you to do so. You've got the consistency of warm baby poop.
I have heard from people over the weekend whose 17 and 18-year-old kids have no idea who Ronald Reagan is. They know all about the Vietnam War, and they know all about some of the horrible history involving America since, but they don't know anything about Reagan. They've not been taught much about Reagan at all. This is a huge eye-opener for them. They are asking their parents, why is everybody going nuts over this guy?
Well, no, that's pretty much the whole country, wondering why you idiots and the networks are going 24-7 for a man who essentially has been dead for 10 years. This is crazy. We should mention that he's died. He was an important figure, a well-known figure in the 20th century. But this 24-7 where we can't get a bit of news from any other direction, yeah, everybody's wondering. It's not just the younger kids. The whole planet is wondering, what has gone wrong with America's media? Why are they doing that?
Millions of Americans also under the age of 30 have no concrete memory of Ronald Reagan's presidency, and yet we are all, including them, touched by his greatness.
If it weren't for people like Lee Hamilton, who continually whitewashed Reagan's involvement in serious global crimes, a lot more people would have heard of Reagan. And as far as Reagan's greatness touching us, no, Rush, I think that's his spending. The national debt that's crushing us now that won't let us breathe, that's what touched millions.
The simple fact is that now in death, Ronald Reagan once again defines the utter beauty and blessing that is America and reminds us all of our destiny.
Well, there's no telling what that gobbledygook mass of crap was. If you're trying to say Reagan is reminding us that we'll all die someday, yeah, I might give you that, but I don't know what the first two-thirds of that gobbledygook was supposed to say.
You know, Reagan's greatness is not about a single speech or a single phrase in a speech or a single memory. Ronald Reagan was great because he was a man.
I know Reagan's greatness was because he was a man. What the hell does that mean? Hey, boy, are you back on the pills again? Is that what? You're not making any sense. Reagan was great because he was a man. Well, gee, Russ, I'm a man too, so are you. Neither of us are great. What made Reagan great? Oh, he was a man. Boy, Russ, you're one stupid mother. Are you still on the pills, Russ? Is that your problem?
He was a great man, and he knew who he was.
Well, I grant you part of that. He knew who he was probably the first 60 years of his life. But the last 30, no, he didn't have a clue.
He was optimistic and happy. He was infectious.
Infectious? Really? I mean, those women that he raped and those starlets that he's had sex with, did they all get infected too, Rush?
He dared to embrace big ideas. He dared to do big things, to overcome huge obstacles in the midst of all kinds of experts telling him it couldn't be done.
Wait, what big obstacles? He was white, handsome, rich, famous. Despite all those obstacles, he was able to remain in a cheerful mood. What a mark of greatness for a great man, whose greatness was his greatness.
I must tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I have been in awe this weekend, watching some of the coverage, listening to some of the people who I remember explicitly insulting this man every bit as much as they insult George W. Bush today, now sing his praises.
Well, first of all, your vulgarness, outside of a shot fired by Ted Rawl, Greg Palast, and myself, almost every Democrat has shown severe restraint in commenting on the passing of the evil Ronald Reagan. The other point is, you're not going to hear it all, but Rush is going to spend the next 2 hours and 45 minutes telling you how hated Reagan was by the Democrats. For some reason, he's going to continue to hammer home again and again. They called Reagan stupid. They called Reagan lazy. They called Reagan uninteresting. They called Reagan a warmonger. They called Reagan a bully. They called Reagan anti-education. And he's going to list everything that anyone ever said about Reagan. Now, why would you do that in a man's eulogy? If Rush truly gave a flying F about Ronald Reagan, would he spend the entire 3 hours talking about the evil charges that the evil Democrats made against the greatness of the greatness of the great Reagan?
And I look interestingly and curiously at the TV set when I see this. And I said, well, which is it then? Was he great? If he was great, he was great then.
He was not great then. He's not great now. He was never great. He was a mediocre president who was fawned all over because, A, he wasn't Nixon, and, B, he got shot. Now, if that's how you measure greatness in the GOP, no wonder we end up with people like Reagan and Bush the monkey in charge of the country. Oh, he's a great president because he's not Nixon. What a tremendously brave man. He was shot.
Some of the most incredible testaments to his policies, and I've seen the usual digs. I mean, it's all out there, but you expect the digs in this current climate, and they're there. But the idea that people who have routinely, who did routinely do everything they could to diminish Ronald Reagan in the eyes of a nation who loved him, now the fact that they do not dare come forth and be honest.
This is why it's so hard to do a beatdown of the pig boy. Does anybody have any idea what he just said? He speaks in these fragmented sentences much worse than I do. He'll give you three or four words, then he'll stop, and he'll give you six words that are on a different subject, and then he'll give you a few more words from somewhere else. And it's like, how the hell am I supposed to respond to that? If you can form enough words together to create a sentence, I can probably rebut it, but he's just a marble-mouthed gobbledygook.
At this point in time about their true beliefs and feelings of Ronald Reagan is another testament to his greatness. They don't dare.
Wait, who don't dare? And don't dare what? Give us a clue, pig boy. Break off a clue. I'd like to respond, but you gotta say something.
Because they know the love this country has for Ronald Reagan. They know it would be suicide to practice their politics as usual during this period.
Vulgar pig boy, I think you're confusing decency and good manners with some kind of battlefield tactic. There's no reason for the media or the Democrats, any elected Democrat, to dump heavy on Reagan right now. I mean, well, A, it would backfire because the nation's feeling kind of bad. We lost the old guy. You're disappointed that they're not doing him what you do to us. You remember, you lying son of a bitch? You remember when Jackie Kennedy was put into the ground? You said her grave is going to be no colder than the bed she shared with JFK, you son of a bitch. See, that's what your side does. When Tip O'Neill died, you spent 3 hours screaming at him what an evil bastard he was. 3 hours, your entire show. You just kept again and again, because the tributes were coming in that Tip O'Neill's a good guy, worked hard, worked with the other side real good, and you had to stop that. So for 3 hours, you just beat him on. Remember, Pigbull, you've got the reputation for playing with a corpse. That's what you love to do more than food. That's what you love to do, is play with a corpse. Anytime a Democrat died, you'd spend the 3 hours just ragging on them. The most insincere and bullshit, petty attacks, harping on crap that never happened. Tom Foley. You heard from somebody that when Tom Foley ate a meal on some airline, that he put whatever, the salt and pepper in his pocket or the crackers or something, and you went on and on for months against Tom Foley for taking the crackers from the damn airline. You went for months with that, you petty little bastard. And now the whole nation is not jumping on Reagan for his severe global crimes. You're acting like, oh, they don't dare. Whoa, yeah, whoa. That's all you got, pig boy. You're just a lying bastard from the word go. Everything you say is horseshit.
Ronald Reagan was great because he never gave up on his country.
More total, utter horseshit. Besides Bush deserting his post in the Air National Guard, can you name any president who ever gave up on their country?
And the reason he never gave up on his country, ladies and gentlemen, is because he never doubted for a moment any of us. He never doubted our wisdom. He never doubted our judgment. Ronald Reagan never doubted the people of this country at all.
Gee, Rush, maybe you're right. That might explain why the Democrats have won the last 3 popular votes for president. Because Reagan knew we had it in us. He never gave up on us because he knew we'd do it.
That made him a huge threat. Because Reagan's enemies had no threat and no confidence and no faith in the American people. They still don't.
Once again, Pigboy, you got it all backwards. Reagan and Bush, none of them trust the American people. If they did, they would open Reagan's papers. But they can't. Because the American people aren't allowed to see what Reagan and Bush did from 1980 till 1992. It's none of our business. Don't give us this crap about you trust the people and we don't, or we think the people are bad and your side doesn't. No, we're for honesty and openness. We've got nothing to hide. You are the sons of bitches that have to hide what you did with our money in our name. That's indisputable, the fact that Bush is hiding every paper from his governorship and everything Reagan did, everything his father did, and, of course, everything he's ever done. The fact that he's hiding all that proves that your side is the ones that's lying and cheating. You can't handle the truth. You can't handle a little sunlight because your guys are committing the major global crimes. Clinton got a blowjob. He's a bad man.
Jimmy Carter, after Jimmy Carter, the establishment, the elites, were questioning whether the presidency itself. I wonder how many people remember this. The late 70s, early 80s, the Washington and New York elites were themselves questioning whether the presidency itself could survive as then structured, whether it was a job too big for any one man. Do you remember this?
But, Rush, the opposite is true. Reagan's idea of governing was taking a nap and let Baker and the others disseminate the jobs among the staff. Why in the world would you try to make people believe that Reagan personally, by himself, one man, could run the federal government? What an idiotic thing to say, even for a vulgar, lying pig boy. If Reagan was some kind of up at 6 in the morning and work till 2 in the morning like Clinton was, some micromanaging genius that handled everything, wrote every paper and wrote every law and edited every bill himself, yeah, then we might have to give him credit. But no, Reagan took naps. Reagan fell asleep during meetings. And you're trying to tell us that he managed the entire federal government, one man, by himself? What an idiotic thing to say even for you, Rush.
Some people wondered whether the Constitution should be changed.
What a stupid way to put that. Some people think it's okay to go to Denny's in the middle of the night and buy OxyContin. When you say, some people thought, well, who does that include, Rush? These mysterious and unnamed Washington and New York elites? Why don't you name them, Rush? It's so easy to say, oh, the evil forces that were after our great president. Well, name the forces. Give us some names. You always hide behind this they, and some people said, and there were those who tried. But you never say anything, Rush. That's my big problem with trying to debate the vulgar pig boy. He won't ever say any effing thing.
Ronald Reagan rejected socialism. He rejected big government. He insisted on returning as much government back to the people as was possible.
If that's true, it stands in stark contrast to the illegal, never-elected monkey who has grown the federal government by leaps and bounds and has shredded the Constitution to where it's no longer recognizable.
He cut taxes so deeply that even some on his own staff became disbelievers and wrote books about it.
Well, now he's trying to shade the truth again. When he's talking about people on Reagan's staff, he's talking about David Stockman, the father of voodoo economics. And a few years into it, maybe 1986, 88, Stockman wrote a book and admitted that that was all horseshit. It was nothing. It was fruitless. It was pointless. It didn't work. But it enabled them to give giant tax cuts to the super rich, and it was screwing the poor, so they went for it. They knew it didn't work. I don't know why Poppy Bush had the balls to call a spade up front and say, that's a bunch of voodoo crap that's worthless and meaningless, but he did. But then the minute Reagan said, you want to be on my team, but you got to quit calling me voodoo and you got to take away women's rights, Bush said, F those women, and I'm with you on the voodoo, and that unholy history was born.
They were wrong. He was right. Our lives today are a testament to how right Ronald Reagan was.
Yep, America is $5 trillion in debt and a whole lot more coming. Nobody's got a job. The stock market's failing. We've got pretty much nothing. No optimism, nowhere to go. So, yeah, maybe Reagan was right about that.
Reagan created the greatest economic expansion in American history, and certainly since World War II. He wasn't always successful in cutting government programs, but he tried.
Big boy, how many thousands of times have you said, don't look at their intentions, look at the results. But again, since it's your boy, you change all that. It's not the results that we're going to look at. We're going to look at his intentions. He tried. He tried to cut government, but it kept getting bigger because the liberals kept fooling him. Lies, lies, lies. He cut the spending knowing that there was going to... Congress never gave Reagan as much money as he wanted to spend. That's a fact. If somebody wants to bet me $100 on that, I'll go $100 that every budget Reagan sent to Congress came back smaller than what he sent over there. Out of eight budgets, Reagan didn't get as much money as he wanted eight times. Does anybody want to bet $100 on that? I'm a gambler, but this is not even a gamble. This is a fact. I pity the fool wants to take this bet.
He slowed the growth of domestic spending by vetoing spending bills and by shutting down the federal bureaucracy. But in the end, you know, in our constitutional system, it's Congress that controls the purse strings, and they made deals with him they didn't keep.
Bullshit. You're saying Reagan was taken by surprise. You're saying Reagan didn't know how the Democrats were going to act. You're saying Reagan was a dupe, that he continually, 8 years in a row, made deals that he knew were not going to work. Was he that stupid, Rush? Is that what you want to tell us? On your eulogy to Reagan, he was so stupid, the Democrats outwitted him 8 years in a row? That's your tribute to Reagan?
But he tried. In fact, Ronald Reagan proved something that to this day, economists, elite economists, do not believe. Ronald Reagan lowered inflation during the midst of one of the most unbridled economies and its growth period in history.
Now, I can't tell if he's hiding behind some kind of weasel words there that have two meanings, but the truth is that inflation died after Reagan drove a stake through the economy's heart. When we went through the greatest depression since 1929, yeah, inflation came to a screeching halt. It just died along with the economy. And you start with this great expansion, yeah. Once the economy was dead, if we saw a toe wiggle, it was a great advancement. It was a great victory. And God forbid you see a toe and a finger wiggle. Holy cow, we're running at light speed now compared to being dead.
And for those of you who weren't around or paying attention in 1979 and 1980, throughout actually 1984, huge recession in 81 and 82. For those of you who weren't around, you have no idea. Nothing since has happened quite like it.
That's true. What he just said is true. The depression, the Reagan depression, was incredibly horrible. When you run a stake through the economy's heart and everything dies, yes, Rush is right. Rush is completely right. We haven't seen anything like that since, and let's hope to God we don't.
You are the ones who make this country great. You are the ones who make this country happen. You are the ones who create this economy. You are the people who determine the destiny of this country, not our leaders.
But Rush, explain why the people were willing to work for Clinton, but not Reagan, not Bush, and not Bush. That's one of the biggest fallacies you phonies have got. You say the president had nothing to do with it. It was always the people working hard that built this nation. So why did the people working hard cause the crashes? Why did the people working hard cause the Bush recession, cause the Reagan depression? Now, once again, we're in another Bush recession. But they were willing to work for Clinton and not your side. Funny, huh?
From the depths of Knuckle Drag, Oklahoma, a pissed off liberal named Bart Cop, and he brings you Bart Cop Radio.